Welcome to the Business with Beers podcast. This is the place where we help entrepreneurs expand their business, build their wealth, and generate passive income. I'm your host, Brian Beers, an entrepreneur who's on a mission to inspire growth from everyone around me. Remember that you need to take the action others won't, and you can live the life that others don't. Please be sure to check out my weekly newsletter that now drops every Thursday. It includes one quote, one tweet, one podcast recommendation, plus some business and investing insight from me. It's short and it's sweet. My goal is to provide you with just a couple gold nuggets to help inspire your growth. Go to brianbeers.com to subscribe. Hello, everyone. I'm excited today to bring you Dr. Lance Knobb, the best-selling author of The 4% Breakthrough and the founder of Denali Consulting. He helps entrepreneurs scale their business to avoid burnout and stay healthy to create valuable assets. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Thank you. So excited to be here with you, Brian.
Awesome. So to start, can you give us an idea of your journey from 18 years old, you graduate high school? Like, what did you do next? And then, you know, we'll kind of get into, what you do today.
For sure. So yeah, I graduated from York Catholic High School in York, Pennsylvania, grew up on a 40-acre farm and knew I loved to serve people, knew I wanted to be in healthcare, thought I wanted to be a pharmacist, and realized I didn't like chemistry, so that was not a great fit.
Okay.
Fortunately, a friend of mine was volunteering in physical therapy at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Brunswick, and I checked it out and loved it. So I went on to physical therapy school and met my wife, and we had an incredible experience. We actually studied and lived abroad in Aberdeen, Scotland. So it was incredible to get a great education and really have some unique, like what we call in physical therapy, like hands-on manual skills, and also see the world. We were there on college, on our breaks. We were able to do a lot. So sort of as a physical therapist without what I thought was without any entrepreneurial bone in my body, and worked for a few years and started to have a little bit of frustration with kind of what was offered.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just frustrated that you couldn't spend enough time with patients. And you couldn't really do the biggest skill in the profession, which is the hands-on work. So there was this growing fire in me to want to provide something better and bring all this together. And so I started to look at the possibility of starting a business. And my wife and I rented a 300 square foot space within a little boutique fitness center in Medford, New Jersey. We started our first location, no outside signage. Didn't even have a fax and copier. So we literally walked next door out the back door to make copies at the Murphy's family grocery store.
Okay.
And, we very humble beginnings and we grew and it was fun. And over time, I fell in love with the business part of things, studied partnerships, which isn't super common in physical therapy. Mm. And, you know, we expanded two and three locations and we brought on our best people as partners, which was, again, very rare and really something I want to talk about today to share.
Yeah,
I feel like partnerships
I
feel like partnerships are an underutilized, tool to consider. And in 2018, one of our partners took over the operator hat. So, you know, development plans are a big part of what I believe is a secret sauce, really checking in with your people along the way so you know what their goals are short-term and long-term and where that lines up with the company's interests. You know, you can make a plan and try to make that happen. So one of our partners looked me in the eye and said they wanted to run the company. And I was like, oh my God. And then I took a deep breath and said, okay, this could be good. So we worked for several more years. And in 2018, they took over running the company. And that's when I kind of spread my wings a little bit, tried to figure out what the hell I was going to do. Talked to a franchise broker, right? I know that's your world. And realized that I wanted to probably create my own business and just serve other entrepreneurs. So I started Denali Consulting and started coaching and consulting entrepreneurs and put all the lessons I learned into a book called The 4% Breakthrough.
Okay. Wow. That's great. Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. So you start this thing, you said 300 square feet. How did you get clients? Is it all referral, just people you knew? I mean,
that was the beauty. So there was an existing fitness center. So there was traffic. So
okay. So they had some sort of physical issue.
Yes.
They saw you guys. They come and talk to you. You're friendly.
Totally.
Signed up. Okay.
Totally. So the owner manager knew every single fitness client by name. They were mostly 40 plus. So they all, just like me,
had issues,
at least had aches, pains, issues. We were generous with our time and expertise, do complimentary consultation. Of course, many of them had physical therapy needs, which the beauty of, you know, physical therapy is you can avoid surgery and medications in many cases, or at least minimize them. So So we had a built-in advantage with existing clients in our walls.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, so let's talk about the partnership thing. So can you kind of start on, you know, how did you find your first partner? Like, and then I kind of want to get into maybe some of the details in terms of how do you vet them? How do you split roles and responsibilities? You know, do they bring capital? Because it's a big deal. It's like you're getting married, right?
Totally.
To this person. And so,
1,000%.
So let's talk about the first one and then maybe how it evolved. But how did you find the first partner?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it comes down to doing all the little things, right? And getting it right from the beginning. So I was passionate about our craft, and I was a professor at Rutgers UMDNJ Physical Therapy School. And one of the best students in the class, Kevin Schnitzer, you know, I think the top student, he wanted to do his internship with us. And this was a pattern. We really opened ourselves up to being mentors. And of course, when the best and brightest are coming to your door, that was the perfect interviewing experience, mutual interviewing experience. So, you know, he joined us. And as I was studying, you know, partnership options from all industries, time was advancing, but he had been with us probably about 8 years at this time. And he was very nervous. I actually, at this point, our second partner and him both got a formal partnership offer. And Nate actually declined the first year. And Kevin was brave enough to go for it, right? Because you can imagine, you know how scary it is to even an existing business. I guess we were maybe 10 years into business at this point. So we had a nice track record and 20 plus, you know, consistent growth. You know, top line, bottom line was up and down as, you know, small businesses go. But he was brave enough to go for it. And then we had a second partner and a third partner. Now, Kevin came on as our... He always treated the business and, you know, the finances like it was his money. And I use the same analogy of getting married as the right metaphor to look at. So I think you do have to date long enough to really get to know somebody, because there's going to be friction, right? And you have to really make sure that you're going to be able to work through that and not get a divorce. Because once you're into a partnership, you know, it would be very expensive and painful if you have to go through a legal divorce.
But you get this guy, he's out of Rutgers, he works for you for a number of years, you know, you really start to trust each other. And then it's like, hey, we want to open up a second location and we want you to be like the lead guy, like it's your thing. Is that kind of what it looked like?
You know, that is exactly what it looked like. He actually started our second office. It's like my wife, Jody, went over there for a few weeks. Then I went over there and built it up a little bit more. But then it was like, Kevin, are you ready to manage an office, start a new location? He's like, absolutely. And he went for it. And then we have this second office, this beautiful revenue generator, profit generator. And he showed he could run the whole damn thing.
Okay. Separate LLC for that entity?
No, good question. Like? Because, I mean, if you look at physician models, attorneys models, most partnership scenarios are where it's one entity and everyone participates in that. And I really thought hard, because there are some models where each location has
satellite like things.
Okay. Yeah, it's right. Almost like a franchise scenario.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is your expertise. I decided to go for the entire thing so that everybody is really trying to grow the entire brand. And that's the direction that we went.
And so did he buy into it? Did you give him equity? Like,
love these questions. And I think this is so important to really think about for everyone listening who's considering partnership. I 1,000% recommend that people have to buy in, that it's not just sweat equity. Because the analogy I always use would be like being given your first car versus saving somebody and paying for it. You're going to respect it so much more. And it's also, right, to create this win-win, you don't want a scenario as the founder owner where someone could just walk away and they didn't really contribute any real capital.
If they have equity.
Totally. So I definitely recommend, you know, balancing that with making it reasonable to get in. Because really the beautiful part of this is, as our partners came in, even with the buy-in, if we continued to grow at our forecasted rates, it'd be like buying a house. And I know you're a real estate expert, right? With our under GoBundance guys, it'd be like buying a house where it actually, you know, generates enough money to pay the mortgage through profit, plus give you additional cash flow.
Yep. So what was his, like, I mean, you don't have to tell me the numbers, but like how much equity did he get?
Yeah.
Did
so
he buy
I,
in?
I started with 5% for our partners. And then our partner who came on as the CEO, I wanted them to have bigger skin in the game. Yes. So I wanted it to be 10%, which was a bigger win for both of us.
He starts in, he gives you some cash, you determine some sort of valuation, probably not the valuation you'd sell it to, like an exit value, but like more of a book value type of thing. It sounds like you're a deal that makes sense for him kind of thing and makes sense for you.
No. I recommend that people in all industries learn the valuation in their industry. Okay. So I went to the experts in 2004, James Glidd Sr., and he told me physical therapy was 1.0 to 1.1 times revenue or 3 to 5 times EBITDA. Okay. So we started to value the business.
Okay.
And you know, our accountant did teach us that there's a minority and marketability discount, which I think are 15% each. So it's pretty mm-hmm. significant discount that people are getting to come in. But we used real values because as part every annually, we actually did a valuation. So in case somebody got sick, they moved, whatever, we would know how to handle that.
And what was it? So it was 3 to 5 times EBITDA or 1 to 120 of sales?
Yeah, 1 to 1.1 times revenue. And then over the years, physical therapy got a little hotter. So it went to 4 to 6 times EBITDA because, you know, the average industry pre-COVID was like 3 to 5 times EBITDA. And then any business that survived COVID, right? Private equity was out the wazoo just in the last couple of years with valuations.
All right. So you got this guy, you determine a valuation that's whatever, 4X profit. So if it's, you know, $500K, you're saying that thing's worth $2 million. And then 5% of that is whatever, and then he gives you cash, right? And now he has like real 5%, not like phantom equity, but like real equity.
1,000%.
Right? He's getting a K-1.
Yep.
All that stuff. Okay.
Yep. And then through that profit, through those distributions, which we did annually, and we distributed, right? I know your audience of entrepreneurs will understand this. We had to distribute at a high percentage, like 90 to 95%, so that at the end of the year, again, it was actually
You had no CapEx either, right? Like, it's not like you had all this money. Like, we have like to save money for inventory and roofs and all this shit, but like, you know, it's a labor business, right? Like, that's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, to pay his loan back and to pay the tax obligation and to have some profit, you know, we were distributing like 90 to 95%, but we wanted to really ramp up our profit rate so that we had this capital available, just like you're speaking about, so that when you start that next new office, we don't have to necessarily take a loan for it. So that was the one intricate detail to think about.
Self-funding it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So then I guess he still had a salary, right? And then plus whatever his compensation was for doing so many clients. And then in addition to like a normal employee, he also got 5% of the profits.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then any other like additional roles and responsibilities? We talk about bringing on a partner. Like, I think that's what's people have to be very clear on, like, you know, what additional things is he doing? What things are you doing? I think that's where it fights. It's like people have certain expectations of what should be done. And when expectations aren't met, that's when people clash, right?
Right.
So did anything change when he writes that check in terms of like his role and his responsibility? Or talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big believer, as I mentioned, in everyone, you know, being very clear with all the roles within an organization and people getting paid fairly and commensurate with those roles. So that was all of that. And that was already handled. And then additional owner responsibilities. Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, you know, have additional responsibilities to be more involved in our marketing business planning, at least annually. And
more probably expense management, maybe cared a little bit more about expenses. For sure.
And he had already been at the manager level, and we had our managers, you know, very transparent with P&L, and they knew the expenses and they were incentivized already on expenses. So, you know, really the change wasn't dramatic in a lot of ways because...
Yeah, because you would already kind of elevate them to this level.
Yeah.
And did you have other physical therapists that work for you too? Or is it just like, were you guys doing all the hands-on work or did you have like multiple employees under you?
Yeah. So we had all the way up to 50 employees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were 5 locations even in 2021. And in 2021, our latest chapter, when you create a really valuable asset, and I mentioned private equity was really, you know, a lot of funds were available and they were really looking for great businesses and they knocked on our door and, you know,
that was,
we're still partners in the business, but we did sell part of the business and partner with a parent company called Active Pro. So, yeah. So that exists. It wasn't the original plan because I definitely think, you know, a plan of staying independent, having your people come in and your founders exit is very special to consider, and it's too infrequent. So I definitely want to get that message out there.
Okay. Yeah. So you had this first location, you go to the second location. Did you bring on additional partners too for each new location, or did you, like, you two guys kind of then just set up these things? It was more of an employee based, you know, model.
Yeah, it was employee based. And as we really had partnership quality people, it was just obvious that Nate Stelz was partnership caliber and quality. And he became a single location person and then a two location, and then was our operations, and then wanted to be the CEO, and then Nick Nolan. We had people that were just phenomenal.
And similar, they're buying in 5%, but at a higher valuation. Now the company worth $3 million and they're putting $150 in. And the next guys, as the company grows, these guys are buying in higher. And at the end, how many partners did you have?
Yeah, so we had these three partners then in 2021, and we had plenty of people on a partnership track. But obviously now with this new, you know, partnership with a parent company, and it's all different.
And how much did these guys own collectively? Like 20% or
25%?
Okay, and then you and your wife had owned the other 75%.
Correct.
Okay, and then so then the private equity company comes in, and I've heard about this, especially in physical therapy, and I think we have some friends that have similar stories. Who they come in and they say, hey, we want to like add you to our big group, our network, you know, then they buy, I mean, a significant portion of probably your equity out, correct?
Yes.
And did
your
other guys maintain or get some cash out of the table? Like, how did that work out for other people?
Yeah. Well, they had a little bit of choice on how much equity they wanted going forward. So everyone's still an owner, but, you know, because we were the biggest, you know, percent owners, the biggest, you know, payment was to us. And, but everybody's still an owner going forward in what they call a joint venture. And we had the benefit of being attractive as what they call a platform company. So it's still our name and, you know, obviously our brand still
and
lives,
your people,
which is
like, and if they want to, are your guys leading the charge then to get more practices open under your brand name? And I think it's all South Jersey, right?
In the Jersey area. And that's the beautiful part for me by building a leadership team. You know, I put all the lessons I learned in really creating a business where you can actually hand over the operator hat is pretty special. And the beautiful part is, you know, Jody and I have a stake and we're not wearing any of the leadership hats. So that's continuing to go forward.
Okay. Yep. And I know some of these kinds, this might be too in the weeds, but I know sometimes those companies will roll, like you get equity in the parent company too. So like in all their deals, not just your individual thing. Is that part of your structure too?
I recommend that. We negotiated that. They didn't offer it, but I put it out there and insisted on it. So that is part of our deal. And just to give you, you love to talk about growth. You know, in the first 11 months, our joint venture together we were able to grow the valuation 3.5x, so 350%. So
holy moly.
Yeah. So that's the power of a different chess game of having some capital behind you. Like when you start to get your EBITDA over $1 million and you start to get bigger multiples and some acquisitions, right? Having that, we were really getting to the point of starting to tinker with acquisitions. But when you can do that in a strategic way.
Is that how they achieved their growth? Was acquiring out other single practices, and then did they rebrand them as your brand?
Yeah.
Because you have a stronger brand or whatever?
Correct. So we partnered with a bigger practice. It was like five offices and they're going to fall under our brand. Okay. So yes.
So that's funny too, because like sometimes, I don't know, and I don't know what your structure is. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but like when we've explored this, it's like you might retain 30% ownership, right? And you sell out whatever. But then if the valuation grows by, you know, 3.5 times, now your valuation is kind of like 100%, right? So it's 30 times 3.5. So it's basically like you didn't lose, like you sold it, you took all this money off the table.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you still have whatever $1 million of equity tied up in this thing.
Yeah.
Because of the growth. And so that's how private equities create value, right? Is that they're doing this consolidation effort and like, you know, they can grow it, you know, faster and quicker than you can do it on your own. Like that's why someone does it, right?
Totally. And they're going to, you know, our agreement is to have distributions on a quarterly basis. So we are still getting the benefit of cash flow plus
increase in valuation. And
correct.
You know, most of these guys, like they consolidate even more and then they'll flip it to the next private equity company in whatever, 5-7 years. And you kind of get more chips off the table, right? And
totally.
It just kind of cycles. So,
absolutely.
That's cool. So then let's pivot here to the kind of the book. Can you talk to me a little bit about what is the 4% rule and talk to me about this whole thing?
Sure. And you know, connecting to the 4% breakthrough book, the one additional part of things is they were good listeners with the company we partnered with. And they realized at that point I was passionate about serving other entrepreneurs and leaders and coaching. So we worked out as part of our agreement for me to coach the organization. I'm coaching the CEO, the COO, the regional directors.
Okay. You know, and of the and private Boston equity plot of that, of this new parent company.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, you know, as you know, most, you know, entrepreneurs and small businesses fail, you know, at a high percentage, right? So according to Michael Gerber, 80% fail in 5 years. But as Michael Gerber says, don't get too excited because 80% of that 20% fail in the next 5 years. So if you actually do the math, unfortunately, that's 96% of small businesses and entrepreneurs fail in 10 years. So that's where, you know, the title, the 4% breakthrough, stems from. And for me, when I really had an important moment in my life that I want to help others prevent. So in 2011, when we had 3 offices, about 30 employees, we just had our 3rd child. So we had 3 children under the age of 4. I was really grinding still. I was working 80 plus hours a week, not sleeping enough, not exercising, totally 1000% abusing my body. Mm-hmm. And my body finally revolted. And my digestive system, my GI system stopped working. I couldn't eat.
Wow.
Food went through me. Embarrassingly, I was either in the bathroom or running to the bathroom. Not a good way to, when you're wearing all the hats, treating patients and leading the team, wearing all the leadership hats, to operate. But fortunately, I was able to, you know, pick myself up. And I did have to rule out some pretty scary stuff, cancer, celiac, Crohn's, you know, get an endoscopy. And, you know, but my body made me slow down. So I had to take a deep breath. And what I did was continue to develop myself personally, continue to put in place all the business fundamentals. And lastly, weave in mental and physical health and really improve my lifestyle, all the things that I knew, mental health, nutrition, exercise, sleep, posture, and ergonomics. And, you know, by doing all this, that was how I was able to get to the place in 2018 where I was able to hand off the leadership hats. And, you know, I put all this into the book, The 4% Breakthrough. So each chapter is a step in the process.
Okay. And what year was that you had that episode?
Yeah. So that was 2011 when I had the episode. And then the book was published in 2020, kind of interesting timing, like end of February of 2020. I thought I was going on a book speaking tour and then the world shut down.
And you didn't? Okay. And is that kind of like you mentioned, I mean, it's 7 years between 2011 and 2018 and 7 years that guy was like with you before you handed it off. Was that kind of like they aligned, you had this issue, then you had this guy in your team, you said, all right, I'm going to start handing more to him. And then, you know, by the time it kind of all worked out.
Yeah, for sure.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all a process, definitely.
Yeah. So then what did you know, what are some of the advice or some of the tactical strategies that you could share here that are in your book that people obviously can learn more about, but, you know, can you give me a high level view? Or what are your top 5 favorite ones?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really recommend that we all do some more strategic work. It's very easy to take action. And, you know, I'm a very strong advocate of taking strategic action, right? So really stepping back annually. 90%+ of entrepreneurs don't have a business plan in place. And unfortunately, even of the ones that do, actually, as you know, executing it is a whole different animal. Yeah. Right.
Anyone can plan. It's the execution that becomes a challenge, right?
Yeah. Even of the 10% or less that actually have the plan, it becomes part of the shelf or some fancy computer file and never gets used and come to life. So, you know, I created a fast and functional process I called the JOLT to help entrepreneurs do that. And I'll share access to that framework with your listeners today. And so I guess
to develop a strategic plan. So we can just dive into that a little bit because that's interesting. So sounds like it's a combination of, all right, where do I want to go? Right. What do I want to work on? And then how am I going to get there? So can you kind of walk me through what is that? You call it, what was it called? The JOLT?
JOLT.
The electricity?
Correct. Yes. Okay. So again, made it fast and functional because even for me, I was fortunate enough to be mentored in a traditional business planning process. And my mentor worked at IBM and she took every new company they had through this process. Okay. And she had 6 months, a year, 18 months. And even with Breakthrough, we would spend, you know, probably 120, 160 plus hours like putting this together. And then even in 2018 with Denali, I had a 50-page business plan. And then when I started helping other entrepreneurs, I realized Ryan Beers probably can't break away for 80 hours.
Yeah.
You know, let's try to consolidate it.
Yeah. I need a one page.
Totally. So it's a two pager. So it's two hours.
I could do two.
And you know, what we do is the one process that I added, the one step was really an entrepreneur going introspective, really looking inside themselves and defining their why, their purpose, their mission, their cause, their reason. So that's step one. And then, of course, a company mission, right? Very common. And then their vision. I know we all love vivid vision. And I'm reading Vision from Mind Valley's book. And he's partnered with some people. I think it's called Life Book. But whatever vision tool you want to use, or you know, even the Jolt is very simple. You just need to think about what your end goal looks like. What's your North Star? What's a finished product of both your life and the business? And then we'll start to break it down to your target, your ideal clients, right? Segmentation, whatever you want to call that. And your objectives and strategies, you can toggle back and forth, right? Your numbers and how you're going to do that. And then there's only one last step before we jump into actions, which of course everybody's like dying to get to. And I have to keep holding everybody back. That's critical success factors. So whatever it is that if you do not accomplish, you will absolutely fail. For example, with Breakthrough Physical Therapy and Fitness, if we lost our insurance contracts, we would fail tomorrow. We're just not positioned to be boutique for enough people to be concierge and pay out of pocket. So, you know, another way of asking it might be, you know, how would you put yourself out of business? But there's a lot of great ways to think about what's critical for success so that you can keep it on your radar. And then once you look through each of these lenses, then and only then do you dive into actions.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that's great for him, Mark. Yeah, I interviewed Cameron Harold 2 weeks ago.
Very cool.
He has a new book out that actually that episode's launching this Monday. So a couple weeks prior to when this is going to come out. But we talked about the CEO-COO relationship and he's got a new book on that. But yeah, Vivid Vision is one of my favorite. I think it's great to kind of, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, you really write this, like, what do you want your life to look like in 3 years? And you write it like it's in the present day. Like, this is what I do every day. This is how I feel. These are my activities. This is my team. Like, and I think the present day makes it more feel more real than I'm going to do this. Hopefully it's like that, right? That sounds more foreign. So, that's awesome.
For sure. I love that. And I love how you're weaving lifestyle into your life. And I think, you know, you shared with GoBundance that Fridays, right, have now become more personal time, family time, lifestyle time. And you've been able to really, you know, focus on your priorities in the remaining time.
Yep. Yeah. And it's all about just like being proactive, I think, with your schedule, I think is a thing that a lot of people struggle with. And if you don't control your schedule, someone else will, right? If you don't control your time, someone else will take it over. And so, you know, especially as you get out, you know, even for me, I'm building kind of an online business, doing more of this franchise consulting. And, you know, obviously I have the Midas to run and on different boards. And, you know, there's all these different things coming at you. And I think for any entrepreneur, really, you know, like you said, being intentional. And I think you probably do this too, but it is like, you know, what do you want to accomplish this week? And then making sure that you are allocating time somewhere in your schedule to work on the most important things. Because if you don't, you know, then you will never find the time. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So really doing that annual plan and then backing it up into a month and a week and a day. And I don't think it has to be outrageous. I think it should probably be 10% or less of your time doing the strategic work. You still need to take the actions, but you just can't stand on the mountaintop all day, but you can't be in the trenches all day either. You will get guaranteed to fail.
Yep. So can you share then with me, for your kind of Denali consulting, what does this plan look like for you in 2023?
Yeah. For me with Denali, how does mine look? Yeah. So I've kind of got a conservative growth numbers and some aggressive growth numbers to really like 500% grow the business. But conservatively, I'm going to grow 40%. And last year I grew 30%.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to do that with continuing to support people through private coaching, which I love doing, but obviously there'll be a max on that.
Yep.
And probably need to do more masterminds and group coaching, which
have more scalability.
Know, totally. And, you know, I'm really starting to do some more speaking. And I've done 3 keynote speaking events at the end of the year last year and working on a TEDx talk. So speaking will be a part of a bigger
part of your strategy. Okay. And then what's your, who's like the ideal client? Like,
yeah, my ideal client is an entrepreneur with a six-figure business who's really feeling overwhelmed, overstressed, feeling that they might be burning out or, you know, already burnt out, and they want to take their business. They want to have a seven-figure business where they actually can get paid along the way, make payroll, not struggle with cash flow, get paid commensurate for their position, and on top of it, have double-digit profitability, double-digit plus after being paid commensurate for all their roles. Yep. And just like I mentioned with Breakthrough, to actually have a valuable asset, a profit-generating machine that they can either keep and, you know, have this wonderful machine that hopefully they can not even be the operator for,
yep,
or they can sell for a premium.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. That's exciting. And, you know, I'll be excited to watch your kind of journey as you continue to build the business this year. And, where can people connect with you? Where can they buy the book? Where can they learn more?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today. People can buy the book. Here's what the print book cover looks like. It's available on Amazon. Highly recommend KDP is great for anyone considering, you know, putting your story and message out there. Kindle Direct Publishing makes it easy to self-publish. If you'd like the Jolt framework that I mentioned, you can go to denaliconsultingteam.com/strategy and you'll get the framework. And for the real action takers, if you email me at Dr. Lance Knobb at the Denali Consulting Team, I will gladly do a complimentary call to help fill in the gaps, a 20-minute call to work on your mission, your company mission, and your vision, your high-level work. And you can find me at Dr. Lance Knobb on all the socials. I also have some other resources for entrepreneurs. I have a private Facebook group with 300-plus entrepreneurs called The 4% Breakthrough, where you can actually promote the ways you serve other entrepreneurs, which is very rare in groups. I do a weekly room in Clubhouse. Brian, we'll have to get you on there.
Yeah.
We'll feature an entrepreneur for a full hour. It's called The Hot Seat. But really, we focus on someone and whatever their biggest challenges and pain points are. You know, I've got my inner circle and the expert panel is amazing. And we just serve you and give you our best insight. So that's awesome. Where you can find me. And yeah, appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story. I think you provided a ton of value. I mean, I got a bunch of notes here on the partnership agreements and just kind of the scale of this business. You get it to private equity, you get cash flow. I mean, it's the whole thing, right? And then how you really are now strategic and intentional with your time and helping others, right? I think you're giving back. Which is great. I mean, that's, you know, karma. Karma is a powerful, you know, thing in the world. And the more you give, you know, the more that you will receive, right? So,
and a last point on that, I know you usually ask for a book recommendation. So I was ready. And for anyone who's looking for their next great book, you know, Wonder Drug,
okay,
by Stephen Tresiak and Anthony Messarelli, two physicians that are with Cooper, a local hospital. And exactly what you just said, Brian, they basically did an evidence-based, you know, literature review. So the proof is by serving others and doing it without expecting something back is the best way to achieve fulfillment. So check it out.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks again for coming on and, you know, have a great day.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
That's all we got for this episode with the Business with Beers podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is to rate the show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on your preferred social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find all my links at brianbeers.com. Please just share the podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember to take the actions others won't to live the life that others don't.